Senate will come to order. Will all senators indicate their presence by voting? Secretary, take the roll. Our chaplain this morning is Dan Plotnick, lay rabbi of the Juno Jewish community.
Let us pray. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He that putteth out not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Amen.
Senator Huber. Without objection, the Secretary will spread the prayer. The Secretary will note the presence of Senators Croft and Poland. Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 106th legislative day.
Senator Coletta.
President, I move an action item consent that the journal for the 106th legislative day be approved and certified.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, in the far gallery is an old friend to many of us. She's still a state employee. And some of us had an opportunity to spend considerable time with her during the malpractice issue and part of the medical. Mr. President, also accompanying Ann is a girlfriend of hers from San Francisco, Susie Desair.
Any further introduction of guests? Messages from the governor.
Message of April 24, dear Mr. President, please add to your list of Alaskans to be confirmed for appointments to boards and commissions the following. State Commission for Human Rights, Dorothy M. Larson of Dillingham, term expiring 1/31/83. Carol Smith of Anchorage, term expiring 1/31/83. Thank you for your additional consideration to these matters. These are reappointments. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor.
As I understand, this oversight was directed to the attention of the governor's office by Senator Croft. We have the joint session this afternoon. However, I'm going to appoint these two names for consideration to the Judiciary Committee. A number of the committees have not reported back on the appointees that have been referred to them. Actually, no reporting back is necessary unless you have objection and wish to enter it in the journal. Of course, any member or any committee can, at the time of the joint session, enter any objection that they have, or as far as that's concerned, could request additional time if such was necessary. All I'm saying is for those committees who have not reported back, we will assume that there is no objection. If there is objection, they will raise it at the joint session, and the Judiciary Committee, likewise, in the two names just referred to it, or if it wants additional time, it may request that at the joint session. Any further messages from the governor?
There are no other messages from the governor.
Messages from the House?
Message of April 24. The House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 783, Special Appropriation to Alaska State Council on the Arts, thus adopting House Bill 783, amended Senate. Message of April 24. The House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 722 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to science and technology.
Commerce and Finance.
House Bill Number 855 amended by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, An act relating to public corporations or other municipal instrumentalities and providing for an effective date.
Community and regional affairs.
Those are the only messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
There's a communication of April 24 from Senator Robert H. Ziegler, Chairman of the Senate Rules Committee. Dear Mr. President, the legislative postal due problem has been solved in the following manner. The Legislative Affairs Agency has set up a postage due account with the United States Post Office. All mail now being held will be sent to Pouch V. There should be no problems in the future.
In that regard, Senator Ziegler, will individual members then be billed for the postage that is taken on their behalf?
That would be a logical assumption, Mr. President.
Any further discussion or inquiry on that matter? Next order.
Understanding committee reports, the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee of April 21, the following appointees to the boards are as noted, has considered them. Medical Board, Dr. Winston Fish of Anchorage, Dr. Jeffrey Partnow of Fairbanks, Dr. Hilbert Henriksen of Ketchikan. Board of Education, Vincent Casey of Anchorage. Commission on Post-Secondary Education, John Malone of Bethel. The committee has no objections to the individuals named to the above boards and commissions. Signed, Senator Glenn Hackney, Chairman. State Affairs Committee considered Senate Resolution Number 13, supporting construction of small boat moorage at Anchorage, and reports it back as follows. Senator Willis, co-chairman, and Senators Huber and Bradley signed do pass. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. SR 13 has no further referral. I have some more confirmation.
Rules.
I have some more confirmation. Okay. Message of April 25. Dear President Rader, the Senate Labor and Management Committee has conferred on the following appointees and recommend they be given confirmation. Board of Welding, Philip Davies, James Crippen, J.C. Wingfield, Donald Lockman, all on reappointment. Signed, Senator Ferguson, Chairman, Senator Ray, Senator Sackett, Senator Rohde, and Senator Coletta. A memorandum from the Labor and Management Committee. The President has referred to your committee. I believe that's all. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 48, urging Congress to maintain diplomatic relations and mutual defense treaty with the Republic of China. And the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fertula, co-chairman. Concurring, Senators Willis, Huber, Bradley, Ray. 48 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 51, disposal of M1 rifles by the Department of Defense, and the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Willis, co-chairman, concurring, Senators Huber, Bradley, and Ray. 51 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 358, Alaska Longevity Bonus, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fertula, co-chairman, concurring, Senators Ray, Willis, Bradley, and Huber. 358 has a further referral to finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill 534, compensation of certain public officers, and reports it back as follows. Senator Willis, co-chairman, and Senators Curtula, Bradley, and Ray signed no recommendations. Senator Huber signed do pass. 534 has further referral to finance. The Special Committee on Employment Resources and Opportunities considered Senate Bill 537, special appropriation to Department of Revenue for positions relocation feasibility study, and recommends do pass with an attached letter of intent. Signed, Senator Sumner, chairman, concurring, Senator Sackett, Ferguson, and Poland. 537 has a further referral to finance. The Special Committee on Employment Resources and Opportunities considered Senate Bill 538, New Jobs Tax Credit under Alaska Net Income Tax Act, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass with a letter of intent. Signed, Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson and Sackett. Senator Pullen signed, no recommendation. 538 has further referral to finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considers Senate Bill 543, Alcoholism, Grants and Aid, and the committee recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute, and reports it back as follows. Senator Hackney, Chairman, signed due pass. Senators Rohde, Willis, Ziegler, and Bradley signed no recommendation. 543 has a further referral to finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 547, Special Appropriation to the Department of Revenue, Increased Number Employed by Alcoholic Beverage Board, and reports it back as follows. Senator Hackney, Chairman, signed due pass. Senator Ziegler signed due pass if ABC agent assigned full-time to Southeast Alaska. Senators Bradley, Willis, and Rohde signed no recommendation. 547 has a further referral to finance. The Special Committee on Employment...
Senator Hackney. There was a letter of intent that was attached to that last bill, and I would ask that
the without objection, the letter of intent will be spread in the journal.
The letter of intent, Mr. President, really had to do with the assignment out from the agent to
Sure.
The Special Committee on Employment Resources and Opportunities considered Senate Bill 555, Special Appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for Administration of Business Loans, and recommends that it do pass with an amendment and a letter of intent and a new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Poland, and Sackett. 555 has a further referral to finance.
Mr. President.
Automatically going to the journal as part of the committee report. That, of course, is not a letter of intent of the Senate. If it's going to be a letter of intent of the Senate, it'd have to be brought up at the time that the bill is brought up. A motion would be made that the letter of intent be determined to be the letter of intent of the Senate. A majority vote approve that, and then it would become the letter of intent of the Senate. Senator Padula.
I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever, Mr. President. That's the way it should be done. But if there is nothing in our journals to reflect your statement, I would ask that sometime you make that as a policy statement, maybe from rules or from yourself, one more time. Maybe there is something now in the journals that makes that statement. I wouldn't want it to be mistaken 2 years from now in court that this was a letter of intent when indeed, again, it wasn't.
It's only a letter of intent of the committee involved until such time as the Senate as a whole acts on it, which would be at the time of final consideration of the bill. If the Secretary would paraphrase that and insert my statement in the journal.
Mr. President.
Senator Ziegler.
I think you also stated, and we discussed this subject before, that any senator who objected to expressing his intent as part of the body could have the exception noted in the journal.
Absolutely correct, sir. We can have minority letters, and we can have minority letters, and we can have just dissents, all of which can be recorded in the journal. Next order of business.
The Resources Committee considers Senate Bill 562, Alaska Land Policy, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Pullen, Chairman, concurring Senators Butrovich, Mielen, Huber, and Tillian. 562 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 704, Special Appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Land and Water Management, and reports it back as follows. Senator Sackett, Chairman, and Senators Mielen, Tillian, and Orsini signed due pass. Senator Holman signed no recommendation. 704 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 870 amended. Special appropriations to the new Capital Site Planning Commission and the Legislative Finance Division, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute with a new title. and reports it back as follows. Senator Willis, co-chairman, and Senator Bradley signed do pass. Senators Curtula, Huber, and Ray signed do not pass unless delete $62,000. 870 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 877, Supplemental Appropriation of the Department of Labor, Industrial Safety, State Inspection, and the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman, concurring, Senators Meehlin, Tillian, and Orsini. 877 has no further referral.
Rules.
There are no other standing committee reports.
Special committee reports.
We Mr. have President. No special.
Senator
Poehler. Mr. President, I don't know whether now is the proper time or other unfinished business, but several days ago you asked me to look at HB 682 as to whether or not we wished a resources referral, and I do wish to have a resources referral on that bill, please.
Senator Bill 862?
House Bill 862.
House Bill.
I'm sorry. House Bill 682.
682.
Renewable Resources Authority.
Renewable Resources. There will be an additional referral to the Resources Committee on House Bill 682.
There are no special committee reports this morning, and there are no Senate resolutions.
Bills.
Senate Bill number 604 for the Labor Management Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the City of Nome for use as local matching funds to develop a barge port facility and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs and Finance.
That is the only bill this morning.
Bring us to a dated calendar.
Senate Bill number 288 by Senator Rohde, an act relating to the certification of social workers and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee recommended it be replaced with a committee substitute with an amendment. Signed, Senator Hackney, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Senators Rohde and Willis signed do pass. Senator Sumner signed do not pass unless amended. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Homan, Chairman, and Senator Tillian signed no recommendation. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation, suggest Finance Committee referral, and Senator Rohde signed do pass with Hess amendment. The Finance Committee considered this bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Hackett, Chairman, and Senators Croft and Meehlin signed do pass. Senator Holman signed no recommendation. Senator Tillian signed no recommendation, and Senator Orsini signed do not pass unless amended. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee have a committee substitute.
Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
I move adoption of the Hess committee substitute.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, the concept of social worker certification has been before the Senate for a number of years. This is the, this being the Hess committee substitute is the only one which is received the support of a majority of the members of the Senate because it establishes a workable and desirable system of certification for social workers. Basically, Mr. President, this bill allows those people with advanced training in the areas of social work, those people with a master's degree and a master's degree plus 2 years of experience to hold themselves out as professional social workers or certified professional social workers. Mr. President, this legislation does not prevent people with less than that training or other credentials from practicing social work. It does not prevent the state from hiring them. It does not require any differentiation. This bill is for the benefit of the public in that it will help members of the public identify those people who legitimately have undertaken their education, have attained certain nationally recognized educational standards, and followed a from certified schools, and followed a prescribed course of study after that. Very briefly, Mr. President, the
Bill sets up a certification board of social workers, provides for the duties of the board, provides for the two classes of certification. In that regard, it's like many other bills we've dealt with, Mr. President, and doubtless because it's been through so many committees, most members are familiar with it. I would ask unanimous consent that this body adopt the HES committee substitute.
Is there any discussion or debate on the motion to adopt the Health Education Social Services Committee substitute for Senate Bill 288? Hearing no objection, committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 288 by the Health Education and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the certification of social workers and providing for an effective date. The HES committee had an amendment number 1, page 1, lines 27 and 28, delete, and child care costs consequent to service on the board. Then on page 2, line 13, delete biennial.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, I move the HES committee amendments. Mr. President, I think the amendments are self-explanatory in that they eliminate on the first page the child care costs, which were requested by some people interested in this legislation. It was felt that because this was not offered to other boards, it would be inappropriate to provide the social workers board with this type, even though it may be desirable. And on the second page, by striking biennial, it was felt that perhaps the board should have the ability to determine how often it thought renewal was appropriate and that biennial was not necessary. I would ask for unanimous consent of adoption of both HES committee amendments, Mr. President.
Is there any objection to the adoption?
Objection.
Mr. President, may I have the amendment read again?
Secretary, read the amendment.
On page 1, lines 27 and 28, delete, and child care costs consequent to service on the board.
Mr. President.
Senator Steeney.
Just technically, I would suggest that we don't want to delete the words consequent to service on the board because the reimbursement per diem and travel relates to that service. If we delete all that language, I'm not sure what per diem and travel is going to be referred to.
Mr. President.
Senator Huber.
On the same subject, if we delete the whole thing as suggested in the amendment, it then reads members of the board receive no salary but are entitled to per diem, reimbursement for travel, and other expenses authorized by law. And that's the same as all of our other boards and commissions. That should take care of it.
We have before us a motion to adopt. Senator Veland.
Before we move on that, I think on page 6, too, the effective date should be.
I have an amendment number 2 to that effect.
I see. Thank you.
Do we have any more discussion or debate on amendment number 1?
Why are you moving?
There has been objection. Would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number 1 say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay?
No.
The ayes have it. Amendment number 1 has been adopted.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Ziegler, page 6, line 13, change effective date to read 1978.
Any discussion?
Repeat that, please.
Amendment number 2, page 6, line 13, change effective date to read 1978.
I move and ask unanimous consent to the adoption of the amendment.
Is there any objection to adoption of amendment number 2? Hearing none, amendment number 2 is adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta?
President.
Excuse me, Senator Ray.
President, I have one question here, perhaps to Senator Comanche. On the quorum, on page 2, line 2, so the majority of the members of the board constitute a quorum, and it goes down and says the board shall adopt regulations, etc. It would appear that two professional social workers, we'll just say, and
one layperson could meet them. The layperson would not agree, and the two professionals, even though it was a quorum, could make the, in other words, the minority would be making the rules and regulations. I just wondered about that.
Mr. President, in response to the good senator from Juneau, as most members of this body are well aware, this happens on many boards, and because of the desire to keep the size of the board small, it would be possible for that to happen on this board, as it would on many other boards who are composed of a number of professional people as well as an additional layperson. We added a number of lay individuals to a variety of boards over the past several years in response to some public concern, I think rightfully so. It will always be the case when we have one lay member on a board that that person can be outvoted.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
That isn't what I'm addressing here, because I believe that the boards, a majority of the members of the board must adopt regulations and not the majority of the quorum. That's what I'm getting at. That at least three members should be in agreement on regulations adopted by any board, or a majority rather than a minority. If you have three people there and two are in agreement, then you have a majority or a minority that is adopting regulations and not a majority of members of the board. That's the whole thing. If we could maybe make an amendment to that effect.
Mr. President.
Senator Rohde.
The language in the bill is language that is existing in statute. If the good senator from Juneau wishes to make an amendment at this time, we would ask for an ease.
We are in second reading. We have no amendment before us.
Mr. President, perhaps in order to facilitate the business of the Senate, we can move this to the bottom of the calendar.
I take that to be a motion that we move Senate Bill 288 to the bottom of the calendar. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Next order.
House Bill number 876 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to minimal electrical standards. The Commerce Committee considered this bill, reports it back as follows. Senator Bradley, chairman, and Senator Hackney signed do pass. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. Amendment number one by Senator Ferguson on page one, following line 14, insert section 2. This amendment has been distributed. This also is in third reading.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I move that we refer to second reading for specific amendment.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Secretary, read the amendment.
Amendment number one by Senator Ferguson, page one, following line 14, insert section 2. This has been distributed.
Does any member request the reading of the amendment? If not, the reading of the amendment is waived. Senator Ferguson?
Mr. President, I move the adoption of amendment number one.
You wish to speak on it, sir?
Yes, I do. Mr. President, I've asked Legislative Affairs to drop this amendment that would give in a sense, an option to the different municipalities for rural electrification associations to prescribe by ordinance rules and other standards for their respective areas of jurisdiction. And I'd ask that the amendment be adopted.
Mr. President. Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, I think this amendment might be more aptly made to delete section 186580, because that's what it'll do. If this amendment is adopted, in effect there are no minimum electrical standards, because any part of the state can adopt its own. That's the effect of the amendment.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I also rise an objection to the amendment, and Senator Orsini has pretty well stated it. It would have been much better to leave the 1975 version, or even the 1920 version of the National Electrical Code in operation, rather than to gut it entirely and allow anybody generating power to set his own electrical standards. You know, this is the kind of thing that we had in the horse and buggy days, And this is why the National Electrical Code was necessary to adopt. Remember, the National Electrical Code is not some rules set up in order to protect electricians and union members from encroachment on their trade. It is a set of safety regulations set up to distribute, to make electrical use safe for the people. And nothing else belongs in it. And this certainly would absolutely gut the bill, the current law, and the whole works. I urge you to defeat the amendment unanimously.
Any further discussion or debate on amendment number one? The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number one say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed, nay?
No.
The nays have it. Amendment number one has failed.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move an action out of this consent and rule to suspend the House Bill 876 be advanced third reading and place for final passage.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill number 876, an act relating to minimal electrical standards.
Is there any discussion or debate? The question is, shall House Bill number 876 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Will the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
And so House Bill 876 has passed the Senate.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101, requesting the Board of Fisheries to consider establishing fish quotas which encourage stable monthly harvests, is in second reading with amendment number one pending, which deleted the word monthly.
President.
Senator Ray.
I discussed the matter with the prime carrier of the bill, and possibly the amendment that I, a subsequent amendment that was in there, and I believe it would be amendment number three.
Number three.
If we could substitute amendment number three for amendment number one, sir, it would probably eliminate the problems.
You wish to temporarily withdraw amendment number one, and then would you like to reinsert it, because later on if you wish, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, amendment number one, without objection, is withdrawn. The understanding that Senator Ray may wish to move it away.
The only problem, sir, is there's an intervening amendment, and if the intervening amendment is adopted,
amendment number three is by Senators Ray and Petula.
Mr.
Is there any
President.
Objection, Senator Petula, with the substitution of one amendment, renumbering of the amendments?
Yeah, I so move. I ask unanimous consent.
There being no objection,
just reverse the number.
The amendment previously designated as amendment number one by Senator Ray is hereby designated amendment number three. And amendment previously designated as amendment number three by Senators Ray and Petula is hereby designated amendment number one. Would the secretary read amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Senators Ray and Curtula. On page one, line 7 and 23, on page one, line 7, before the word, before the period, insert, of bottom fish and crustaceans. On line 23, before the period, insert, of bottom fish and crustaceans.
Could that be read in context?
Page one, line 7, then would then read, requesting the Board of Fisheries to consider establishing fish quotas which encourage stable monthly harvests of bottom fish and crustaceans. And then again on line 23, encourage a stable monthly harvest of bottom fish and crustaceans.
Mr. President. May we have an at ease?
Senator will stand at ease. Senator will come back to order.
Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
That would be the last amendment.
Adoption of amendment number one has been moved. There is objection. Is there any discussion or debate?
Clearly the objection.
Mr. President, I don't object to taking care of the bottom fish and crustaceans, so I'd like to sponsor the amendment to tell me what happened to gastropods and bivalves.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, anybody familiar with the dictionary, and I'm certain my colleagues from Ketchikan reports to me, those are defined arthropods and bivalves. You won't find them in crustaceans.
Senator Tillian.
That's a hard act to follow. While admitting that this amendment doesn't destroy the resolution, I'm still rising in opposition to it. The thing that we've seen in past, well, it's almost the history of Alaska, is it's a rip-off and run fishery. And with the introduction of the bottom fish capability, you're going to have a chance to provide some stable onshore employment. You're looking at about 7 jobs ashore for every job on a boat. And I'd rather see the resolution go through pretty well as it is, because when you're, it says we're biologically possible, you can't cut salmon in quotas in any biologically possible system because of the fact that they run for such a short period of time. But I would like the board to take into consideration that when our processing plants are busy with salmon, this would be a good time to have some of the other seasons closed, so that you could spread your harvest over the full year. That's the only possible way that you can protect your shore employment. This isn't a fisherman's protective bill. It's a shore employment Alaskan protective bill. Back in the days when the king crab season lasted 8 months a year, the fleet was 98% Alaskan, and the shore employment was pretty well the same. A few years ago, when we filled the Kodiak quota in particular in 15 days, the people from the villages didn't move to town for the season. You brought in fruit workers from California to put up the pack. And today, the king crab fleet is only 40% Alaskan. If you do nothing, what you're doing is giving the fishery away. And as you give it away, you give away the stable shore employment that our people need. And all this resolution does is say to the board, take into consideration that you've got to have seasons open every month of the year, balance your harvest with that goal in mind, and it should really cover all the fisheries, not just the bottom fish and the crustaceans. Mr. President.
Senator Petrullo.
Question to the chair, to Senator Petrullo. Won't the Board of Fish and Game essentially make the decision whether or not we pass this resolution? The same thing. You know the Board of Fish and Game membership.
I'd
say the Board of Fish and Game, if somebody doesn't jog them, might very well look at only the biology. The biology could very well be handled on a single quota for pollock, which will eventually be filled in, say, 6 weeks by the Seattle fleet, and you'll be sitting with your shore-based plants idle. And so what we're trying to do is say to the board, there are other considerations besides straight biology. One of them is the impact on your people ashore. There's the difference on whether your product will be taken by your smaller boat fleet. The Danes, for instance, cautioned us against rushing out to help build a big boat fleet. They said, you'll find for the first few years of the fishery that the fleet you have now, with modifications of gear, will be able to take enough to keep your plants busy. And what I hope someday to see is very few of the big distant water type vessels, and the great bulk of our product caught by boats that deliver onshore every night and go home to their families. The type that also have their boat work done in Alaska, that have their net work done in Alaska, and who spend their money at the local stores and establishments here in Alaska.
Senator Petrullo.
I agree with Senator Petrullo, but maybe it's important enough then that we write legislation or law on this subject rather than just sort of memorialize people through resolution.
Senator Petrullo.
I feel that you should give the board a chance to act. And I agree with the good senator. If they don't
act in the manner that is to the best interests of Alaska, why we might very well have to cast it into law, but I think that we have a year or so to look over their action.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, yesterday or the day before when we took this up, I guess yesterday, Senator Powell was absent from the weekend. His major concern and what he told us at that time was this was primarily for bottom fisheries. And then our good senator from Kodiak actually said that they had a problem because of crustaceans, which means crustaceans are shrimp, crab, wood lice, and sand fleas. What causes me the problem, and I've talked to people from the department, I've talked to a member of the board, and nobody can give me a guarantee that this would not affect the winter salmon fisheries in the southeast. And that's my major concern. Nobody has given me that guarantee, and nobody will give me that guarantee. So rather than to include them in, and I don't believe that the way that the resolution is written, where it says so far as biologically possible, that is particularly for crustaceans and for bottom fisheries, and has nothing to do with salmon, because salmon spawn in the fresh water or adjacent to the mouths of the rivers. So I believe that the amendment to the resolution does no harm to the intent of the resolution, but it does give considerable help to the people within my area and the rest of southeast of Alaska who presently make their living from, or a substantial portion of their living from, the winter salmon fishery.
Question. Let me ask a question. If we had monthly harvests of only bottom fish and crustaceans, then that would mean that would be spread over 12 months, and then you would have on top of that on your salmon runs a doubling up then, would it not, if we adopted the amendment? Senator Killian?
I would hope the board wouldn't be foolish enough to do it, but that's right, sir. And the thing is that in every species of fish, there are times that they're either not prime due to having just spawned or something like this. And what we're trying to direct is that they consider all the fisheries, be it salmon, herring, the bottom fishery, halibut, with an eye towards keeping those plants rolling every month of the year, and therefore to leave out a segment does cause a problem.
Well, Mr. President, I wish to answer. If you're going to encourage a stable monthly harvest, of course you're not going to provide for year-round harvest. You've got to provide for the opportunity of spawning, etc. So you're not going to provide for year-round harvest, contrary to your suggestion. I mean, every month harvest.
Mr. President?
Senator Ray?
Again, if I can remind you, sir, as far as biologically possible, has a direct intent to crustaceans. That's the intent. You wouldn't have any doubling up or anything else. Why aren't they doubled up now, sir?
Any further discussion or debate? Member Number one.
Question.
What so many as roll call?
Yes, sir.
The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote?
Yes, sir.
Does any other senator wish to change his or her vote? Will the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 12 yeas, 8 nays.
So amendment number one has been adopted.
Amendment number two by Senator Orsini, page 1, lines 20 through 24, which has been distributed.
Senator Orsini?
President, I'd move amendment number one just to explain it. The intent here is that two items, the taxpayers of the state of Alaska subsidizing the commercial fisheries by about $15 million this current year, There's a very considerable cost involved in getting into the fishing industry, $30,000 to $40,000 for a limited entry permit, $100,000 plus for a vessel. The hand trolling remains the only type of fishery wherein a person may, the average citizen may, reap some of the benefits of this rich fisheries. The intent here is to, in certain areas of the state, such as Southeast, Prince William Sound, and Cook Inlet, to allow hand trollers to get in on some of the riches of the state's natural resources. The amendment that has just been adopted changes the original resolution to bottom fish and crustaceans, which are generally not hand trolling type of fisheries. So to that extent, the amendment now is probably now inapplicable to the resolution. Therefore, I'd ask to withdraw the amendment.
Senator Ziegler?
I'd likewise move to withdraw the four standing amendments to the amendment which I had prepared.
Very well. Amendment number two with the pending amendments is withdrawn. Senator Ray?
I would now like to withdraw what was previously amendment number one, but is now amendment number three.
Without objection. Do we have any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletto? Is there any discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, shall the Senate adopt Senate concurrent resolution number 101 as amended? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Would the secretary take the roll?
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
And so, Senate Concurrent Resolution number 101 as amended has been adopted. Brings us to the bottom of the calendar and also then back to Senate Bill 288.
Clint.
Senator Huber.
I have notice of reconsideration on my vote on the CR 101.
Secretary will so note.
Mr. President.
Senator Ferguson.
I have notice of reconsideration of House Bill 876.
Secretary will so note. We have before us committee substitute for Senate Bill 288 in second reading.
I now have an amendment number three by Senator Ray to page 2, line 3. After the period, add a majority of the members shall be required to adopt any of the provisions of Section 50 of this chapter.
I would move the amendment then,
could we have it read again, sir?
Would the secretary read the amendment again?
On page 2, line 3, after the period, add, a majority of the members shall be required to adopt any of the provisions of Section 50 of this chapter.
Senator Ray, you have the floor, sir.
I move the amendment, Mr. President. Section 50 has to do with the duties and powers of the board in establishing or adopting regulations, establishing codes, requirements, application fees, and conducting hearings. It's just, all it does is require the majority of the members of the board be in agreement before these things are done.
Mr. President.
Senator Petula.
Senator Ray is quite right. They have the force and effect of law on that particular profession. It certainly should be exactly as he suggests.
Is there any objection to the adoption of amendment number three? There is objection. Is there any discussion or debate?
Question.
The question is, would so many as favor the adoption of amendment number three say aye?
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The ayes have it. Amendment number three has been adopted.
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletto.
Mr. President, I move an action item to consent with the rules to suspend the committee substitute for Senate Bill 288 and then Senate be considered engrossed in advance of third reading and place for final passage.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 288 amended, an act relating to the certification of social workers and providing for an effective date.
Right. Any discussion or debate?
Why,
Mr. President, I raised the question in committee and really didn't get it addressed is on page 6, the definition of social work is my chief concern with this bill. The definition now is so broad that, Mr. President, we are in fact social workers. When we enact funding for an alcoholism program, which is intended to affect social conditions and some changes of behavior, we fall under this definition, and many of the other things we do. I think there any parent who spanks his child to change that child's behavior is also a social worker under this definition. And it's just, as it is, construed now, it's certainly too broad. The examples given there, such as interpreting social work aspects of problem situations, et cetera, are fine, but the definition does not just include those particular examples of social work. It includes those and any others that fall under that very broad definition. And I object to it for that reason.
Mr. President.
Senator Rodin.
Senator Orsini is absolutely correct. The definition is broad. This is not a restrictive bill, Mr. President. It does not restrict people from engaging in a particular field of endeavor. What it does is set forth a very general definition in the last part of the act, and I think that it needs to be broad because this is essentially a bill that would allow consumers to judge the academic credentials of those people who hold themselves out to have certain academic credentials, and I think it's entirely appropriate in this context. I think that if it were a restrictive bill, that then Senator Orsini's comments would be well taken.
Mr. President.
Senator Sumner.
Senator Rodick indicates that this is not restrictive legislation. Maybe he could share with us the number of people that are essentially affected in two categories. And part of my problem with the bill was it seemed to me, though I can't remember the exact number, that the number of people who would qualify under either the certified professional social worker and under the category of professional social worker was indeed a very limited number of people. And then what happens in regards to the broad recognition of social workers, what happens to those other people engaged in the field of social work? Are they non-professional social workers? Are they non-certified social workers? Or are they tag-alongs? That was the concern that I had, and I believe there's less than 50 people or 75 people in the state that would be affected in these two categories, none of which, by the way, to the best of my knowledge, comes in direct contact with people for the very specific purpose that social work is defined in the Act. That was my concern.
Mr. President.
Senator Dillon.
With apologies for keep-smoling, but going back to the previous statement, I suspect maybe we could solve our child abuse problems to some extent now because you would have to have a master's degree in which to whack under this program.
Senator Huber.
Well, Mr. President, I rise in opposition to the bill almost totally. And I'll reiterate the various sections and try to tie my argument together. Mr. President, the bill is another case of proliferation of government, giving us something that we don't need and spending more money in the social services area. Now, Mr. President, we've had it brought to our attention time and time again that the biggest problem in the social service area is the case workload of the individual social workers. We haven't had it brought to us that they're incompetent or anything like that, but their particular caseload. Also, it's been brought to our attention that the requirement that temporary hires not be rehired means that people that are working can't be rehired, and we end up having to hire new people for temporary workloads. Now, we know all of these things affect the quality of our social workers and the quality of the product that they put out and its expense. So now this bill comes along and purports to change that. And the method that it's going to use to change that, it adds to the problem instead of solving the problem. Let's take a look right in the beginning on the makeup of the board. Two professional social workers and two certified professional social workers. Now let's look at what the difference is. They're practically identical. A person is eligible for certification as a certified professional social worker if he is in good professional standing, and two, holds a doctor or master's degree from a school or a foreign organization that has the same certification. Now, under 080 of the professional social worker, a person is entitled to be certified as a professional social worker if he is in good professional standing, holds a master's degree in social work from a school of social work accredited by the council or social work education, or a foreign school, and so on and so forth. So one says he can have, adds to it, a doctor's degree, and the other one's a master's degree. Now, you know, we hire an awful lot of the people working with the people down on the bottom, if you excuse the term, the Indians rather than with the chiefs. An awful lot of these people carrying caseloads are not that high on the educational scale. They hold bachelor's degrees, and they hold maybe a major in social work, and certainly their pay is quite high and does raise the cost of social services. But now we're going to end up with the only people, for instance, on the board is these two categories. There's very little difference in them. They're both very highly educated. Now, we've been told that it's not a regulatory bill. If we move over to page 5, prohibitions and penalties starts on page 4. But a person who willfully violates a provision of this chapter or a regulation adopted under this chapter. Now, immediately following this, this board is authorized to promulgate all regulations under AS-62. There is no special prohibitions. That's the same thing that allows the Department of Motor Vehicle to set up the total driving code. It's completely without prohibition, other than that they comply with AS-62, which is a very broadly written law. And, Mr. President, the next paragraph, B, a person who violates this section is guilty of a misdemeanor, and upon conviction is punishable by a fine of $500 or by imprisonment for a year or both. So, by regulation, we can establish almost anything that that board wants to under AS-62, and we put a pretty good, healthy penalty in it. Now let's go back to where Senator Orsini was interested. Senator Orsini was totally right. He just didn't go far enough. Under A, he said, social work means a service or activity which assists individuals or groups to affect changes in behavior, emotional responses, or social conditions. And includes A, explaining and interpreting the social work aspects of problems, situations to individuals, families, or groups. Now, the next one I have no objection to, the use of psychotherapy with individuals, families, or groups. I have no, but assisting in social work problem solving for individuals, families, or groups, there isn't a one of us that hasn't helped another family or another person with personal problems like this. So that C doesn't belong in there. The 6 and 6A don't. The only thing that is substantive that ought to be in there is the B. We should be controlling that, and we already are controlling psychotherapy under current laws. I think we also have plenty of control over professional social workers and establishing their professional abilities by setting up their job classifications. We have pretty high job classifications in this state, particularly in the social work field. I don't know, Mr. President, this is just another case of proliferation of government doing unprovoked good. And it's something that we can very well do without. It adds to the problem rather than the cure. I'd ask you to do it.
Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, I do have some concerns with this bill, but I don't intend to make a light work of opposition to it, Mr. President. I'll make my comments very brief. It indicated to the social workers in Fairbanks before I came down here that I did not intend to support any type of bill that was proposed to set certification standards for what is sometimes a rather inexact science. Mr. President, the thing that rather disturbs me about creating another board here, another set of
state. Mr. President, 1977, we spent in this state $648,000 in regulating running our boards and commissions. 1978, the figure was $800,000. And Mr. President, the figure that's in the budget for this year is $907,000. And Mr. President, in checking with the division that has to do with certification, they don't feel that that $907,000 figure is enough. I just don't think, Mr. President, that we need a board certified social worker. I think there was a revealing comment that was made in the course of testimony on the bill in the administration position paper, and I'll quote from that. They said it is not beyond the possibility that higher qualification levels would result in increased wage demands without adequate insurance that service quality would appropriately increase. And they went on to say, in fact, the activity of engaging in social work practice by another name is not.
Senator, we'll come back to order. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, having enjoyed the interesting comments of my colleagues, I think first starting with Senator Sumner's, he is absolutely correct. There are less than 50 people that this bill will affect, those people with advanced academic credentials. The question that was raised about regulations, as every member of this body knows, there are any number of boards that can affect regulations far beyond perhaps what we may intend, but still they are bound by the statutes. They can, and we can, if we wish, revoke those regulations. The definition of social work is indeed broad, as I think it must be. This is a bill that's entitled to help those people who do seek, particularly outside of government employment, social workers, and people are entitled to know the qualifications of people. Those people who don't believe that, I would encourage them to amend any one of a number of bills coming on the floor to perhaps allow for deregulation of medicine, law, and many other professions. I think we have to be very candid and very consistent in our views. The cost of the bill. The social workers themselves testified that they were willing to bear any cost that might be incurred for setting up a certification panel. This isn't a licensing bill. It's not going to prevent anybody from practicing. It is merely going to allow Alaskans to identify those people who have certain academic credentials. And, Mr. President, I don't think that's bad. I think the public ought to be able to identify people who've reached a certain level of academic attainment, particularly when it's not going to affect those other people who are working in the field. To take a position other than this is to say that the public really doesn't have the right to know. And, Mr. President, I believe the public does have the right to know. I think that the cost factor was taken care of. The cost is going to be minimal, particularly when the social workers themselves are willing to absorb this cost. Mr. President, it's procured the same committee that would be worried about the cost would pass out $8 million bills with a relatively cavalier response. The arguments that were made in some of the position papers that were opposed to the bill are the same position papers which the committee has found to be inaccurate in the past, and, Mr. President, I don't think they're any more accurate in this case. Excuse me. I think I understand the sense of the Senate and understand the position of some of the members on this legislation. I did consent to carry it for a number of the people that were involved. And for that reason, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that this bill be returned to Rules Committee.
Unanimous consent has been asked. Is there any objection?
Mr. President, I object for a moment. If it's to come back out, there's at least one technical amendment yet that I just discovered, and I'd say that it represents the care with which the bill was considered and drafted to begin with. If you'll look on the bottom of page 7, section 3, 08-01-010 is amended by adding a new paragraph to read 21, Board of Social Workers Examiners. Now, Mr. President, the 1977 Title 8 Business and Profession, September 1977, it's new last year, lists 21 State Physical Therapy Board. And this would, at the very least, have to be made to 22, or you would have a conflict in your statutes, or you'd be repealing the State Therapy Board. So that's representative of how carefully it was drafted. I'd ask if they bring it back out, if they change that.
Is there any objection to the referral of the bill to the Rules objection. Committee? Hearing no objection, the bill is referred to the Rules Committee. Concludes the daily calendar. Unfinished business?
Mr. President.
Senator Ziegler?
This is half unfinished business and half special order, so I suppose I should move and ask unanimous consent for the special privilege to the board and discuss in the Senate.
Without objection, sir, you have the floor.
The last thing I want to do is get into a hassle with the House, but we have been criticized, mostly good-naturedly, for dragging our feet over on this side and for not giving the tender love and care to House bills to which those bills are entitled. And so as of last Friday, I have some cold, boring statistics for you, but I think every senator ought to have this material for rebuttal purposes in case the assertions are made to any of us individually that we aren't doing anything. As of last Friday, we had passed in the Senate 49 Senate bills and 32 House bills. This is roughly a 5-3 ratio. On the other hand, the House has passed, as of that date, 15 Senate bills and 106 House bills. And this is almost exactly a 7-1 ratio of their bills over ours. As of this date, we've passed more than twice as many House bills as the House has passed Senate bills. And currently, there are about 6 times as many Senate bills in the House Rules Committee as there are House bills in the Senate rules. So I would merely suggest that let him who is without sin amongst us cast the first stone.
Any other unfinished business? Senator Cheney?
President, I move to ask my House consent I be excused from the call of the Senate on Thursday, April 27th.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Croft?
I move to ask my House consent I be excused from the call of the Senate on Thursday and Friday, April 27th, and 28th.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, I'm moving to ask the unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate not subject to a call Thursday through Monday, this week, Monday through the session.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Petrillo?
President, I'm moving to ask the unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House on Friday of this week.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Orsini?
Mr. President, I didn't mean to start a trend here.
Any further special orders? Unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Holman.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet today at 4 o'clock to discuss the criminal code, the revised criminal code proposal, and the category is crimes against the person. Also, an announcement for tonight, a wine tasting party, Yancey Derringer's Upstairs Restaurant. Everyone knows where it's located, from 5 until 7. And this is sponsored by K2FM during their annual fundraising marathon.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, tomorrow morning, Finance will be meeting at 9 a.m. with Mr. Lipton on the Alcan Financing Authority. And then I'm setting up a hearing for 8:30 Thursday with Alcan and administration people on the same authority.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, the Senate Commerce Committee will meet this afternoon at 1 o'clock rather than 1:30, as it does, in room 207 of this building to consider SCR 83, ownership of satellite earth stations in rural Alaska, SCR 92, use of state funds for air transportation, SCR 100, relating to the federal aid highway system, and Senate Bill 498, disciplining a licensed guy.
Senator Petrillo.
I believe it's come to me secondhand, but that the House Democratic Caucus has invited any one of the Democrats to meet with them upon adjournment. for purposes of discussing confirmations for joint session.
Senator Orsini.
Mr. President, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock or upon adjournment of the joint session, whichever is later. We'll be taking up several bills, Senate Bill 208, an act relating to municipal organization grants, Senate Bill 533, an act relating to planning for public facilities and municipalities, Senate Bill 599, an act related to regulation of the sale of alcohol beverages by municipalities, and we'll be hearing testimony on the proposed coastal management regulations.
Senator Ray.
President, should we reverse the special orders?
Without objection, sir, you have the floor.
I'd like to ask unanimous consent that I be excused to call the Senate from 2 o'clock today for the rest of the day.
Include the joint session.
Yes, sir. I have a dental appointment. I've been waiting a long time.
Without objection, so ordered.
Also, under announcements, the Transportation Committee will meet at 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Any further announcements? I want to remind Senators that last year there was a call of the joint session on a controversial item, and that therefore Senators, in order not to delay the joint session, I hope they'll find time to attend at 2 o'clock.
President.
Senator Petula.
Some of us may well be in the area we can contact, but we don't necessarily intend to be on the floor. It's not any responsibility of anybody's demand that we'll be there unless he calls the House.
If you do not intend to be there, I'd appreciate it very much if you would let the Sergeant-at-Arms know where you are so that it does not delay the joint session, get you by telephone or in some manner. Any further announcements? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move the Senate recess to the joint session at 2 o'clock.
We will not reconvene in these chambers. We will reconvene in the chambers of the House. Hearing no objection, so ordered.